Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
This body has been, done, and felt so much that the story it's journeyed through has found its meeting with the soul. Do we hide it? Do we heal it? Is it true? Does it define us? The eyes we hold has witnessed what was felt, transforming the mind and moving it back and forth between what's true, what's false, what's real, and what's not. The inner workings, wonderings, and wanderings that we want to follow, finding that courage deep within to let go of what we've known and transmute what we've been holding. It's time to let go. It's time to heal our bodies. It's time to hear, listen, and feel the voices of our body. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Voices of the Body, the podcast. My name is Love Ashley Elaine, and I'm going to be your guide as we journey through all of these voices and our stories that live within our body. This episode, we are sitting down with my amazing and lovely god sister, Miss Josephine Garrell, as she shares her miscarriage story and how she literally has come out on the other side. It's such a beautiful story. There's something in here for everybody, but specifically women, right? The level of awareness that you will be able to tap into after this conversation. So, you know the vibes. Prepare your mind, body, and soul as we get into this episode. Are back. So take a minute here to just find a comfortable seated posture, really allowing the tailbone to root down into the chair, into the ground, wherever you are seated. If you are driving, please be safe. Keep your eyes open and look at the road. And here we're just going to move through some breath work. Keep it simple today, right? But really wanting to ground down, right? So dropping awareness into that tailbone, into that root, right? And really allowing yourself as you take a nice inhale that you're drawing the breath from the ground, from the root. And envision yourself bringing the breath up through the body, right? Maybe it's coming up through the back of the body, through the spine, up all the way towards the crown of the head. And soon as the breath gets to the top of the head, gently allow the exhale as the breath comes back down. One more nice big inhale, really drawing the breath from the earth. Allow Mother Nature to give you what you need. And envisioning that breath just coming up and cleansing, right? Allowing that earth, the breath from the earth, to cleanse the body, the spine, anything that's energetically hanging out that you no longer need. When the breath comes to the top of the head, allowing it to quickly, slowly, and in reverse come back down the spine, right? So as soon as you take in all of the air you can, just allow it to slowly come back down. And the point is to really allow the body and the nervous system to feel into natural rhythm, right? Not shocking it or doing anything to like make it go into fight or flight, right? But really allowing your nervous system to come into a calm space, allowing the body to come into a calm space. And just move through that breathing space as much as you need to. If there's anything coming up, allow yourself the space to journal. You can always pause. You can always come back to this. And we will be right back. And welcome back to Voices of the Body. So every episode is very special. This one is even more special. One, because it is October. Y'all know how I feel about October. It is Pregnancy Loss and Miscarriage Awareness Month, as well as Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And the more I keep doing these every year, the more I want to like keep sharing stories, because our stories are important, but also like bring in different professionals and awareness things, all kinds of things. But this episode, I have my god sister. Hey, yay, girl.
Hey, hey. Hi, thank you for having me.
I'm like sitting here asking you, now what name do you go by? Knowing I'm going to call you Jones.
Facts. And that's all right with me.
Right. This is my god sister. Like, whew, there's so much history here. So much history here. And oh, okay, wait a minute. Oh my god. Because I'm starting to get a little emotional. But so much history. And when I remember like seeing you post about your story, I was just like, man. Gosh, okay, like I didn't know how to maneuver. And then when I had my miscarriage, I was like, oof, okay, like there's a compassion here, like there's a shared space that's it makes our space that much more deeper. So thank you for sharing your story, one, on Instagram, and two, like coming on here and sharing your story. I'm honored because our stories don't have to be shared, and where we choose to share them is very important. So I'm grateful every time somebody says yes, but like even more grateful that you said yes to sharing your story with me and my listeners. So thank you.
Yes, I'm honored. Thank you. Because it feels good, you know, to share my story, because I feel like our experiences aren't just for us, right? They're for other people. So when I was going through it, I was searching online trying to find other people that were going through it too, so you don't feel, you know, so alone.
Yeah. Tell us who you are. Let's start with that. Tell us about Jill.
All right. Hey, y'all. my name is Joe. I go, you know, go by Joe. Full name Josephine. I do a lot of things. I sing. I'm a songwriter, but I'm also in the process of getting my licensed associate counselor degree. So I am a therapist. Yes. And I'm a wife, I'm a sister. I hope to, you know, one day be a mommy to my earthly baby, but I do have an angel baby. So I still, you know, I'm still a mom, just in a different realm, but I'm a lot of different things, and I'm happy.
Yeah. Congratulations on becoming a therapist, because we need more Black therapists. We need more. Yes. Lord, we need
really
more. And becoming an aunt.
Oh.
Yes.
It's the best thing that has ever happened to me.
Oh my gosh. Like, I wish I lived closer to my nieces and nephews. I'm just like, my God, like, spoil. Oh.
Yeah.
So yeah. Mm-hmm. So tell us, like, just what the process was with deciding to like have a baby. Like, what was that like for you? And what were like, were there any like complications? Were there any trials? Like, what was that journey like?
Sure. So I started the journey, you know, back in 2021. So it was kind of like parallel for the both of us. We went through it the same year. And I wanted to be a parent. I struggled. And to this day, sometimes I still do, because of the commitment that it takes. So I never felt like, back then, I didn't feel 1000% ready. And I don't know if any parent truly feels ready. But for me, you know, I had to. It wasn't like I could just like just try, and if it happens, it happens. Like, everything was very strategic because I went through fertility treatments. Mm-hmm. So everything was timed, the appointments. I was having, you know, multiple appointments a week, lots of ultrasounds, lots of blood being drawn, lots of monitoring and supplements and just so many different steps. So it, in a sense, it kind of took out that surprise element and made it very organized and like to the T of what I needed to do. And there was a whole time frame. So it became very serious. And then I think that I, you know, eventually I was like, okay, if I'm going to do this, then I'm going to like fully invest. So I dove into just like researching, lots of different research, and like, how can I make this the best, most positive outcome for me? So it was a lot. It took a lot of time, but you know, Kay and I, that's my spouse, we talked about it a lot, and we were like, okay, this is go time. Like, why not? You know, no time like the present. We're never going to be fully ready, so let's just dive in.
Yeah.
So that's what we did in 2021.
Yeah. It's always interesting, like, fertility treatments, because I think people like miss how complex that can get, right? It's like
so complex.
Yeah, it's like the lengths that you go to want to be pregnant, right? To carry a child and all of that. What was your body like going through when you were going through these treatments? Like, what were you like internally feeling, physically, spiritually, all of that?
Physically, not too much of a difference. Like a lot of the supplements and medications that I had just kind of mimicked like getting a period, like so like your PMS symptoms. So it wasn't too much of a difference. But it was tiresome because I'm getting up, like having to be at the doctor by 6 a.m., maybe 3 days a week to get an ultrasound, to get, you know, blood drawn. So doing that over again, just being pricked and prodded, and you just feel like, you know, your body is not your own at that time because it's somebody else that's always coming in to like monitor. And then hanging on to that, like that emotional piece of having hope, wanting this to work the first time. And then that nerve-wracking feeling of, am I going to get good news today? You know, like I would have to wait for the results to come back and then they would call. And then you're always super nervous throughout the day. Like, okay, is this going to be good news? And then if you don't hear good news, then you're discouraged, you know? So then I'm, you know, feeling sick. I'm feeling depressed. I feel like back then I allowed whatever news to like fluctuate my feelings. I wasn't grounded back then. I wasn't like, you know, if I receive not so good news, I'm still okay. It used to rip me to shreds and I was just going with, you know, going through the motions and not really feeling grounded in that. So I think, yeah, it increased my anxiety. It increased, you know, the depression, lots of worry back then.
Yeah. Did it kind of feel like more like task rabbit, like, okay, like this is what has to be done, almost like a to-do list for the day, right? It's like, okay, I have to get up, I have to go to work, I have to do this at work and all these other things, instead of like, you know, that natural feeling of, oh, we're just going to see how this happens. Did it feel more like a chore at that point?
Oh yeah. It felt very like robotic. Like there wasn't a naturalness to it.
Yeah.
You know, so going through fertility treatments, you feel like you're kind of robbed of that experience because it's not, I don't want to say that it's not natural, so to speak, but the feelings of like, let's just sit back and, you know, let's just try naturally. And then if it happens, it happens, it doesn't. In that sense, I had to, you know, be like, do the step by step. So it was like, okay, like I can't really feel at ease, so to speak.
Yeah. Was there like any medical reason specifically that caught, like that made you go in the direction of fertility treatments?
Yeah. So I am diagnosed with PCOS, which is polycystic ovary syndrome, and endometriosis.
Okay.
So because of that, you know, we did try prior to getting pregnant, we tried like a natural cycle just to see, you know, what would happen without fertility treatment. And it didn't go so well. I've always been told, I've been diagnosed with PCOS since like 2013. And I've always been told that it's going to take some time. It's going to be a challenge to get pregnant. I don't want to, you know, like assign that and believe that for me. But at the end of the day, there has been challenges. So I'm, you know, understanding of that too. But with PCOS, it's just a lot of hormonal imbalances going on in the body. So being able to balance those out, I feel like I have worked hard to improve that a little bit, but the PCOS endometriosis is still there.
Yeah. I love that you like, because sometimes we can get a diagnosis and be like, oh my God, my life is over, you know, but I love that you were just like, okay, and like, I still like, this is what I want. This is, I'm going to still believe for it. Right. Because I think even just in life period, right. We're like, when you think about statistics, like being a Black woman, or statistics of like Black men, like just statistics that fall on us just because this is how the world is. Right. It makes us like, it makes people not try to accomplish anything, no matter like how much they've dreamed of it or wanted to do it or desired to do it or desired to have it, right? So I love that you didn't allow that to like dampen your hope, right? Or even dampen you like, okay, well, there's always another process. There's always another way. There's always like, it's going to get done one way or another. Like I'm going to have a baby one way or another. Right. So I think even just that aspect is like applauding you for that. Cause a lot of people would just be like, okay, well, I guess we're just not going to try and then do nothing about it. Right. So
that's true.
Yeah. Like I love that so, so much. And that's for anybody like who may be experiencing like the same thing, right? Just keeping hope and knowing that whatever that timing is supposed to be, like the timing will be for you to have a baby, right? Like if it's a rainbow baby, if it's your first baby, whatever it is, like wherever you are on that spectrum of having a baby, like just keep hope alive. Like keep it alive. Yeah, I love that so, so much. Ooh. So what, like, what was, where were you in the process of like, when you realized you were miscarrying, did you realize you were miscarrying or was it like, how did that come about?
So, yeah. So I found out that I was pregnant. I did like a home test. It was, I just remember it was a Sunday morning, super early, and I tested positive and I was so excited. And then we had a appointment the next day for blood work. Got the blood work, came back positive. Everyone's happy. And then we scheduled the first ultrasound at the fertility clinic. So we're super excited. And at that time, like it was still COVID. So everything that I did, I had to do by myself. So, okay, couldn't come in. I went there, we did the ultrasound, and there was nothing on the ultrasound. And normally you would see, you know, the gestational sac, you know, something in there, and there was nothing. But there was like this like round mass that wasn't in the uterus. It was something that I've never seen before. And it like stuck right out to me. And my first thought was, this is ectopic. Like this isn't happening. So the doctor's like looking around. She was like, maybe, you know, maybe it's like stuck somewhere. Maybe it's hiding. Let's just give it some time. And I was like, yeah, but what's this round mass? Like it's very alarming. She was like, it hasn't been there before. And I thought to myself, like, you've been looking at my uterus this entire time, you know, like we would see this before. So I was like, yeah, this has never been here before. So she was like, okay, let's give it a few days. And if it doesn't appear, then we'll do some more testing. But she didn't feel like, she didn't seem that hopeful, but I felt like she had to have a little hope for me. But that was literally, it was about like, I was 5 weeks and maybe 3 days. And that's when we had the ultrasound and nothing was there. So that's when I knew right then and there, like, this is questionable. This isn't looking too good.
I think so. Two things from that, right? You paying attention to the ultrasound, like magic, right? And that even speaks to women like really paying attention to their body also, right? And really understanding their womb space, right? Because just because the doctor is looking at the ultrasound doesn't mean that we can't look either, right? Like we should be studying that just as much to really understand, okay, that's what my womb looks like in 3D, right? And the fact that you saw something and she was just kind of like, oh, well, that wasn't there before. It's like, ma'am, hopefully if it was there before, we would have addressed it, right?
Absolutely.
So like just kudos to that, right? Be like the awareness of what is happening in our womb, right? And then like, did you, so can you explain what an ectopic, I can't say it right, ectopic pregnancy yeah, you're good. Is.
Yes. So an ectopic pregnancy is when the embryo or baby isn't located in the uterus. Mm-hmm. So 9 times out of 10, an ectopic happens in your fallopian tube. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the egg is traveling. It's supposed to travel from the tube into the uterus and plant itself, but it actually implanted in my tube. So it was in my right tube. Mm-hmm. And it was growing and it was painful and it was growing. So ectopic pregnancies are not viable. There's not a like surgical method where they can like take it out of the tube and then implant it into the uterus. And it's also life-threatening. So if it ruptures, that causes internal bleeding. And then my life would be in jeopardy. Mm-hmm. So the baby won't be able to survive. So 9 times out of 10, they do various different methods of terminating. So mm-hmm. it's actually considered a medical abortion because there's no other option at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
No.
Yeah. Could you feel that in your body at all?
Yes. Like, did you have? So it was, I'm trying to think, like, it was, so after I found out that I was pregnant, I started having like really bad cramps. My first recognition, like after seeing, okay, it's not in the uterus, it's not on the ultrasound, was like lots of pain. And then I started having some bleeding. So I was like, okay, that's, you know, different and scary. Mm-hmm. And the pain was just getting more and more intense, but like nothing I've ever experienced before. It wasn't like a period cramp. It was pain. And pain that would last for a long time, and then it would kind of like fade away, and then it would just keep coming back. It was very annoying and very painful.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's like those cramps are very different, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, when I think about, because of course, like, I have Jez, right? I think about like that, like, period cramping. I think about mm-hmm. pregnancy cramping, and then I think about miscarriage cramping, and that miscarriage cramping completely different.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you've never had a baby before, you know something is different with these. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, so I think your awareness of just your body, period, right? Like, I think that really helped you also, especially with how severe this type of miscarriage is, right? Because if you didn't pay attention to those signs, this could be like a whole different story.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So kudos to you for, I'm gonna give you a hand.
Thank you.
Because body, I mean,
but really,
yeah body, like, awareness is important. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely. And especially being a Black woman, you know, like, where we sometimes we are not given, you know, we're not being paid attention and nobody is really believing us, right? So no, like, I need to advocate. I advocated for myself, like, this isn't right. This doesn't feel right. Like, let's run these tests. Let's figure this out. And I think my doctors were, but they were trying, like, they were, I guess everyone has a protocol, right? So they had certain protocol. And I'm like, I'm sitting here in pain. Like, can we speed this process up? Because this is not normal and I don't feel right. So yeah, definitely paying attention and being aware. You have to, in order to survive, you have to.
Being Black in America.
Yep.
And then being a Black woman in America, like,
right? Yes.
Oh gosh. Mm-hmm. So let's take a breather, because that was juicy already. Like, oh, like, because it's like, I'm grateful for, like, even like the joy that is still in, like, the conversation, right? It's like, you know, there's so many points of awareness that you had that is like, okay, you guys, like, listen, like, pay attention, like, okay, pay attention to your body, because what you're feeling, they might not see, or they might not, you know, they might rule it out as something else. So no, like, I'm loving all of this so much. So we're gonna take a breather, a nice big inhale and a deep inhale, and we will be right back.
Yes.
And we're back. Everybody take a nice big inhale and exhale. Yeah, no, I don't like to leave y'all hanging. Yeah, breathe it in, let it out. I love the awareness that you had, or that you have of your body. And so what was the process now coming to like, okay, this kind of has to happen, or this is now happening?
Right. So after they had to do multiple ultrasounds, so they waited like weeks. I didn't like officially finish this entire ectopic pregnancy until I was 8 weeks. So I found out at 5 weeks and 4 days. So then I went through these next few weeks of lots of like, I did a DNC because they thought that maybe the baby was like in the endometrial lining and they just couldn't find it. So they did a DNC to scrape it all. Nothing. The HCG levels were still rising. I was still in pain. So that was very frustrating because I went through this whole procedure for nothing, you know, knowing like I knew that this was an ectopic. I did my research. I knew about ectopics before this had happened to me. So I was kind of in the know of it. So I was like, I didn't see the purpose for it, but then again, they said that they had protocol and steps that they had to do to make sure. So after I had the DNC, I had to heal up a little bit and the levels were still growing. So the baby was still there. Next was a medication called methotrexate. Mm-hmm. So it's technically medicine that is for cancer patients. And it's like two big shots in your rear end and it's very painful and it's supposed to stop the pregnancy. So I had actually two dosages of it. I was only supposed to have one. And that didn't help. Like the pregnancy started to decrease, but not at the rate that they wanted it to. So it was all about time. Timing was getting serious to the point where if it ruptured, then I need to go to the emergency room and have an emergency surgery. So I was just like, we were just playing with time and hoping that nothing would happen. But each day, you know, that pain was getting worse and worse. And then finally, after the two dosages of the methotrexate, they're like, okay, well, it's not working the way that we want it to. Now we have to have laparoscopic surgery. So then I had exactly. So then I had surgery.
You're making me mad. And this is already happening.
Thank you. Because it was like, it was ridiculous at how many steps. Like I went through all of the steps that all the protocol to terminate this pregnancy and nothing was working. So finally, at this point, Ash, like so bad. I remember being in the waiting room, like waiting to go into surgery, and my doctor and the anesthetist, they came in and they're like, you know, how are you feeling? Trying to explain the surgery. I felt like I was in a daze. Traumatic. Kay's not with me. I'm by myself. I'm listening to what they're saying, but it's kind of like going in one ear and out the other at this point. And the pain was so bad. I was just like, I don't care what you're saying. Just get it out because I can't keep dealing with this.
Yeah.
So we did the surgery and I had to have my right tube removed in the process. And it was like maybe like a 2-hour surgery and then it was done. And then it was, you know, then it was healing time and recovery. But it was intense. It was the hardest few weeks of my life.
Yeah, because when you said five weeks and then 8 weeks, it's like anything could have taken place in between that time.
Anything.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And they're telling me like, oh, you know, go home. And if you experience one of the major symptoms of internal bleeding is like pain in your shoulder. in your shoulder tip right here. And I'm like, if they're like, if you're feeling shoulder pain, go to the emergency room because you're internally bleeding. And I was just like, what? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I'm not a doctor. So I don't know if I'm feeling, like, what am I feeling? Like, I'm feeling this pain. Is it, like, bad enough where, you know, like, I asked them, I was like, how do I know that I need to go to the emergency room? And they were like, if the pain gets worse. And I'm like, well, it's getting worse every day, you know? Right. So what do you mean? Like, I need more information. And it was kind of just like, you know, just if you're feeling bad enough, just go. And I'm just like, well, I don't know, you don't know.
Yeah. Oof.
There's so much anxiety, so yeah. Much uncertainty. Oof. Yeah.
It's, especially like, cause you know how the brain works. We know how the brain works. You mm-hmm. tell me that my shoulder might fall off. And now every day I'm like looking at my shoulder and like, it's dislocating a little bit more, right? Like it becomes like a mental thing. So I yes. can't, oh my gosh. Meanwhile, like all the pain is in your uterus and in your womb.
Right.
It's like, how yes. do I even like decipher exactly. what's pain at this point?
Right. And then the emotional pain, that right. emotional, like, it's just like, I literally felt like I was going to break. And I don't know, like looking back, I don't know how I made it through, you know. Like I did things, one thing that I did do was I journaled a lot. So I journaled this entire experience. Every day I journaled. So anytime I got news, anytime like leading up to the surgery, days after the surgeries, I journaled. So just so that I can have something, because it all happened so fast, right? And then it is a traumatic experience. So your memory even, you know, isn't always there in those moments. So the only thing I had was these journals so that mm-hmm. I can, you know, just reflect on what happened to me.
Yeah. 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 Because as quick as it probably happened, right? I'm mm-hmm. sure like the day to day was like long and slow mm-hmm. and just like the like because you're like you're in it, right? Like you're in it and you kind of have no choice but to be present because of how severe the pain is.
Right.
So when they remove the right. Oh my God. What is
fallopian tube?
Yes, you're good. You're right. Good. I was about to say uterus, but like, oh my God, my brain. When you're they moved the right fallopian tube, was that because of how the pregnancy was or what, like the delay in?
Good question. You know, after this, I've tried to ask so many questions to better understand, but they said, I guess, that they were going to try to keep it. Mm-hmm. But more than likely it would have to be removed. So I don't know if, you know, how the baby was attached to it, if it just wasn't workable, you know, maybe it wasn't worth keeping in the body just yeah. in case, you know, I get pregnant again. Would that tube even be, I don't know, workable or viable at that point? So they just went ahead and removed it.
Oh, man.
I know.
So I know you mentioned journaling, and she mentioned that she can sing. Baby girl can blow. Listen. She sung at my aunt's wedding, and we yeah. still haven't forgot. We have not forgotten. She got an album out. I'm about to put all of it out there. Like, she got an album you. That's out. I think I peeked and saw she working on something else. Like... I'm gonna get all the links and put them in the show notes.
Yes. So, thank
like,
you.
She's a creative. Like, don't sleep. Don't sleep.
Don't sleep.
Yeah. Facts. Like, I got chills. Oh. But I love like you. I love you so much. I know you mentioned journaling, but like what else? Like, what was that healing journey like for you? Like what?
Yeah. So
anyway, at least the beginning stages of it. Yeah.
True. As soon as I knew, like literally the day that I had the first ultrasound and I knew that the baby wasn't there, I found a therapist because I knew this was going to rock my world and I needed the support. So I found a therapist and she was Black, amazing, so supportive. And we started working, I want to say like the week after the last surgery that I had. There was so much going on. I think the day that I was supposed to meet with her was the day of my last surgery. Yeah. So we had to wait. And, but it was amazing because I cried a lot. And we processed because everything is so connected, right? So having this loss brought up all of the losses that I have experienced in my life. And the second biggest was my parents' loss, losing them at a young age. And you think like the two aren't connected, but it felt so connected in the sense that, you know, my parents died when I was younger. So I haven't, you know, I had some memories and very, very minimal memories. But then you have those thoughts of like the what if and wondering what life would be like if they were still here, right? And then losing my baby, I started thinking of all of the, I wonder what this baby would have been like. I wonder what our lives would have been like if they were still here. And how would I be as a mom to this child? And what would their personality look like? And what would they look like? And you start to, you think of all those things and not realizing like, wow, that's actually really connected. What else did I do? I did like Reiki healing.
Ooh, yes,
I
Reiki.
Met with, who is this woman? I forgot now. It was such a long time ago. She was like a spiritual somebody. She was very, and we talked and I just cried. I leaned on support, you know, because at that time, I didn't want anyone to really know, you know, when you're going through pregnancy, you want to wait until you're out of your first trimester type thing. So it was a very isolating experience. And I only allowed a certain few people in. So those people that I did let in, you know, I leaned on them for support. You know, people came and cooked us food and brought me comfortable pajamas because it was so painful, you know, that little surgery. It took a while to recover. So just relying on other people and going through the motions, literally, I had to, you have to go through it to get through it. Oof. So those moments where I'm like feeling hopeless and depressed as hell and not wanting to get out of bed, I felt that, you know, and when I'm having a happier day, I'm trying to cherish it and hold on to it for as long as I can, because I know that it's not always going to be there and I might be in the valley again. And that's okay because, you know, I just have to get through it. But therapy and journaling, I think that really saved me, honestly, because without that, all those negative thoughts would have just like continued to just be in my headspace and my mind. And it was very, very scary. It was very scary how low you can get. You know, when you reach the bottom, you don't think like, I didn't think I was going to be able to smile ever again. You know, I didn't think I would be able to laugh. I didn't think I would have hope again.
Yeah.
It's so phenomenal to feel that hope and to feel joy and be able to laugh again. Think, you know, at a time where I didn't think I was ever going to be happy or heal from this. You know, I didn't want to try again. Everything was going down and I did not want to have a kid. I was like, I tried. This is crazy. This was the craziest like circumstance. It was just so chaotic. And I felt like nobody was listening to me and I was angry and I was sad and all those emotions. But now I'm feeling pretty good. I'm so happy.
I am too. Yeah. Like, I love hearing your laugh has always been like, top tier for me. It's just like it's so to hear you say like you never thought you'd be able to like laugh again, and then to hear you laugh, it's beautiful. Like,
yeah.
And I so appreciate like the proactivity, right? I think that's the game changer also, right, is you were able to say to yourself, okay, this is what I'm sensing. This is what I feel like is about to happen. Let me prepare myself, right?
Yes.
And I mean, we can do the dance, like, if you didn't do that, where, how would things move, right? We, like, that can be a dance that can play the what if game, right?
Right.
The point is, like, you automatically allowed yourself to reach out for support, right?
Oh,
you
yes.
allowed yourself to say, okay, this is going to tear me up. I know it's going to tear me up. Let me lean on my tear up crew.
Yes, for real though, for real. It's like during those times, like, you literally think like the world stops, your world stops. And I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
And everybody else is living and moving forward, and you just feel stuck and you feel so alone, and you feel like, what the, like, this is terrible, and nobody else understands, and nobody else is feeling, because they're up and going to work, you know, they're happy, and I'm looking on, you know, Instagram, and everybody's smiling and happy, and I'm just like, I feel like my world has ended. So you have to, it's so imperative to lean and get that support, especially because without it, you are alone. If you don't reach out, you're creating an island for yourself.
Yeah.
That's not healthy. You know, that's not going to help you feel any better or feel better anytime soon. So I had to. There was no other option at that point.
Yeah, that's so good. So, so good. So what's next for you? Where are you now? Where are you moving towards? What are, like you said, you just graduated and now you're a therapist.
Yes.
How do you feel this experience will help you with your clients?
I feel, you know, it's all about empathy.
Yeah.
All about, you know, this has made me more aware of, like, my feelings and my emotions, and the steps that I took to heal myself, I can encourage and help others do the same. So anytime I'm meeting with a client and they're going through hardships, I'm like, have you started journaling yet? Have you started journaling yet? Because there is nothing like, even if it's scary to, or so emo, like, there are times where I'm writing and I'm sobbing and I have to, like, take a break. I can't even finish writing.
Yeah.
Because it's so emotional. I'm so upset. And then I, you know, after I give myself, I allow myself that time to cry, to feel. And then I continue, you know, I continue journaling. Those are, like, we need coping skills. So the coping skills that I have learned, I can, you know, help others and encourage them to do the same. And not everything works for everybody, right? But I think everyone can write how they feel and be able to release those emotions.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah,
absolutely. I think it's definitely helped and will help, you know, my clients.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Do you still write to your baby?
Honestly, I wrote to my baby maybe a few weeks ago, but I talk to my baby a lot, because I feel like, you know, in a weird way, my baby is now my ancestor. They're part of my ancestral, you know, team.
I believe it too.
Mm-hmm. Right? And it's like, I was walking because I, like, am, like, in my fitness journey. So I was walking and I heard, and it was so random because I have not talked to my angel baby in a minute. But I heard her or him say, I'm proud of you, mommy. And I just literally, I started crying as I'm walking. And I was like, where did that come from? I was like, that's intentional. And it was a divine moment where, you know, I know that they're still here and guiding me in a way that they probably wouldn't have been able to guide me here, earthside. So that spiritual team, it's a loss, but it's also a gain. And that's one of the major things that I learned in therapy was, what can you gain from this? It's not all about loss, right? It's all about, but you can rebirth and become someone new. You can gain new things about yourself, about life in general. And that's one thing, you know, that I've learned is I have a whole new spiritual being on my side who is guiding me in such a beautiful and divine way.
Oh.
Right?
My cheeks are warm. I'm like...
Oh, yes.
it's oh gosh, because that's like I always say, the things that we go through, right? Like, mm-hmm. why waste that? Why
For
waste
real.
It, right? If you journal, if you put it in a song, if you create something from it, if you just come to a space of like accepting that, like, you got giants that I always say I have giants mm-hmm. that are just like with me, right? I have a altar over here now with like yes. a picture of my grandmother. Of course she's still here, but like my great grandmother, my great great grandmother, and like a little something of my baby, right? Just something there, and then mm-hmm. a picture of Jazz, because it's like, like you're still gaining something, right?
Right.
So if yeah, like I question people who just kind of like let life happen and then don't really like do anything with it, both, and like I get it, right? Like mm-hmm. you fall into like that deep despair mm-hmm. and it really feels like you can't make it out. Like it
right.
really right. feels like you just cannot get out, that you'll never get out, that things mm-hmm. will, I mean, nothing should ever be the same, right? But it's like coming back yeah. to like a new version of you. What does this new version of you look like? What can I bring from this experience to mm-hmm. help grow me, or to like bring it into my work, or like how does it build my character, right? So, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, this was beautiful. So beautiful. Yay. You are glowing.
Thank you. I feel good, you know.
Smile. Yeah.
It feels good to share.
Yeah. Yeah. And sure. that heals you even deeper.
That part. Mm-hmm.
Right. Like,
absolutely.
The more you share your story, the more like it not only heals other people, but it's like, because, you know, every time you hit a new level, right? If you share it again mm-hmm. or you go back into like review mode, it's like, ooh, I didn't even think about it that way. Or I didn't see that before, right? Or, mm-hmm. oh, wow, like I missed that. Let me, you know, because healing isn't linear, right? It's
right.
It's this roller coaster, and we're only going to be exposed to something more that we need to tap into or heal or be aware of when we're ready. Right.
right.
So it's like a lot of those if it wasn't for this experience, would you have been able to really properly grieve your parents? You know what I'm saying? Like it's so. Ooh, life. You be lifing.
Right? Yes. 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 Because it's all connected. It's yeah. all connected. So yes, it has what you just said is so true. And it opens doors, you know, it opens doors to other forms of healing. It mm-hmm. opens doors to other things that maybe you need to address. Right. And yeah. it's just like, oh, I didn't realize that, yeah, I need to work on this too. Or learning new things about yourself. Or just realizing how strong you are, right? Because like we go through things all the time and we just let things pass and life passes on. But with that reflection, you're able to see just how powerful you really are, just how resilient you are in your life and in your journey, that like, wow, the things that rocked your world and broke you are the things that actually built you up, the things that are now taking you to new heights that you never imagined. Like, whew, that's special. That's beautiful. So beautiful.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. My gosh. Joe, thank you so, so much. I got chills.
Oh, yes.
I'm trying to like, I'm asleep so good tonight. I'm like so happy. I love doing this. I love your story. Yes. It like so many gems in there for people to like really tap into and pay attention, and this is why I do this, right? It's to really bring perspective and awareness to what people may not be paying attention to within their own bodies, right? Within their own journey, within their own healing.
Right.
Thank you so much for sharing with us.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me and listening.
I love you too.
So. Yes. Thank you, girl.
Tell my homie, hey, I said, what up?
Will do.
And we will be right back. And take a nice big inhale and exhale. One more time, nice big inhale and exhale. Beautiful. I'm really grateful for my god sister coming on and sharing her story. We don't have to share our stories, right? We can keep them to ourselves both. And I believe that when we share our stories, we allow ourselves to have power over them and not allow them to have power over us. So I'm grateful for her sharing how hard that journey was for her, and to literally be able to exude and show and tell all at the same time authentic happiness, right? Because it is a very dark space to be in. We all end up in these very dark spaces. And she had such great awareness, right? I want that to be what we focus on, is the awareness that she allowed herself to have in connection with her body of, one, what was happening in the process, and two, what her body was going to need, what she was going to need emotionally, spiritually, physically, to help heal her. So instead of being reactive, she was proactive, which is such a beautiful thing, because a lot of times we wait until something happens instead of already having those skills and knowing what we need, right? So it's not just waiting until something big and bad and heavy happens, right? What are those daily skills that we have? And journaling was one of them for her. And that allowed her to open up to therapy when the time was right. So I hope this blessed y'all. I hope this blessed y'all. I love you all for free. Until next time.